If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to episode 120 of the multi-award-winning Women's Running Podcast. I am your host, Esther Newman, and she is your other host, Holly Taylor. We don't scream about it here because we recorded the day before the awards, but we are thrilled that we won Podcast of the Year at the PPA Independent Publisher Awards last Friday for the second year in a row. We are giddy with it and we'll chat about it to death in the next podcast. For now, though, we're talking about being ill, not washing our duvets, and how marvellous our podcast live was last week. New date for the next one coming soon. We talk about Raynards and running in the cold and dark and how it is extremely off-putting. We asked our lovely patrons on the live about how to motivate ourselves to run in the winter, and they came up with some ace suggestions, which we go through here. We start talking too about when we need to start our training for the Paris Half Marathon, which is slightly sooner than Holly thinks. Trigger warning here for eating disorders. We've had an email in that we'd like to discuss from a listener who is recovering from anorexia, so we chat about that, not from a medical perspective, as obviously we can't comment with any authority there, but we chat about injury, strength training and overtraining, touching a little bit on Red S, more of which in a future episode. This leads us on to chats about our own struggles with body neutrality and body positivity. And again, we're going to talk about that more in a future episode, possibly the next one if we can get our asses in gear. We end by confessing our favourite body parts, and this is where you will instantly, because I will, be Googling the phrase thigh brow.
I don't know why I'm grumpy today. I think it's so cold in our house and it's genuinely making me wake up, and I'm like a bit ill whenever I wake up. You know, yesterday, because we met up yesterday, didn't we? We went to a cafe and
we
worked together for a bit, which was lovely.
It was.
I was a bit snotty when I got in the car.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, and then it kind of got better as the day went on. Exactly the same thing keeps happening to me every morning at the moment, where I wake up with a runny nose and then it goes as the day goes on. And I'm really concerned it's because my bedroom is damp and cold.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, kicking it off with some cost of living real talk today. Yeah. Not very entertaining, but
yeah, and you're back in the UD.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
I'm back in the UD. The UD is a permanent fixture at the moment. I'm a bit concerned about how I'm gonna wash it though.
Yeah, will it fit in a washing machine? Because it's massive.
I don't know. It's massive, isn't it? It might have to be a dry clean, which is another expense I can't afford.
Okay. Do you know, I was thinking every single year. Well, no, it's not every single year, but I guess once every 6 months when I change the duvet over, and because we've got a summer one and a winter one, I have that.
Yeah.
I have this fleeting moment where I go, oh, I should really wash the actual duvet. Never have done. Never have done.
Oh, good. Like, phew. I was about to say, it's another thing that we should have been doing the whole time. I've never washed mine.
I've never washed it. And I know people that will religiously, you know, in June, trot down to the dry cleaners to get their big duvet washed and then, you know, whatever. I've never done it with any of mine. And ever.
No.
Ever. I'm pretty much sure that there is a duvet that I use for guests that I used to have. Like for me, I think it's probably close to 20 years old. Never washed. That's disgusting, isn't it?
I don't know. It doesn't seem that bad.
I just think
I have no idea where mine, I think mine must have been washed at some point because it was originally owned by Doug's mum, who is the kind of person
that
like,
would wash a duvet.
She gave me the Udi. She washed the Udi before she even gave it to me because she wanted it to smell nice. And she's that kind of person. Like she yeah. is the opposite to me when it comes to being Mrs. Slapdash.
Yeah.
Like she does things properly. So she probably has washed her duvet.
Do you know, I
don't do things properly at all.
I don't do things properly. Yeah. I was walking up to school the other day with another parent who was talking about, so they were dressed really smartly. And I said, oh, you're dressed smart. Are you doing something? And they said, no, then they weren't. But they just fancied wearing some nice clothes that day from working from home. And I was like, oh, okay.
Aww.
And I said, that's lovely. I don't do that anymore because I don't want to iron anything. And their response was, oh, no, but we have to iron anyway. Of course we iron because of the kids' school uniform. And I was like, oh, no, I don't iron that. I'm not going to iron tiny pairs of trousers. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
That was not me as a child either. I can't imagine that being me as a mum if I do have children one day. No. I think I was always the person with with holes from where my thumbs went in my school jumper.
Yes.
Definitely everything was crumpled. Laddered tights.
Always.
Yeah. Probably a bit smelly. That all makes it sound a bit sad, but I can imagine my mum was very, very busy and my dad wasn't always brilliant at domestic-y things like that. He was a very good cook. He always used to cook nice things, but he wasn't brilliant at, like, you know, putting our hair up for ballet or making sure that was freshly washed or whatever. So I can't imagine that I would have had kind of crisp, clean smelling uniform. It just would have been whatever the nearest school jumper was.
I mean, I simply can't be asked because you never know from one day to the next whether they're going to come back like covered in crap or mud or whatever. So what's the point in ironing something that they're not going to kind of look after, if you see what I mean? And like, and also, our washing powder, we use Ecova, and I do like Ecova.
Oh, very good of you. Very good of you.
Thank you. But it makes me not itch. So that's kind of basically the main reason we don't use it. But also in terms of washing power, because it's non-bio, it basically breathes over the clothes. So they're all kind of stained and a bit grey, and there's nothing I can do about it. And it's like, well, I just don't see the point in gilding the crappy lily that is their rubbish school uniform. It doesn't make sense.
I feel as though we're going to get in trouble again because someone slagged us off in the reviews the other day because they were like, oh, I tuned into this women's running podcast ready for, you know, Joan of Arc content, and here I am listening to two women talk about Hoovers. You know full well we're not talking about washing duvets and school uniform because that's a passion of ours. Please give us a break.
It's not a passion. And we
this is a hate. This is hate chat that we're having right now.
And it's the domestic duties that befall women. We're talking about feminism here, aren't we?
Dave is
not going to work worrying about ironing the kids' trousers. I bet you.
No, I think people expect women to not only prioritize this stuff, but also to be good at it. And I genuinely think, I promise it's not an excuse, even though I've been conditioned to think it's an excuse my whole life. It's not my thing. It doesn't mean I'm not going to do what I need to do to not have smelly clothes and to make sure that I'm not living in complete filth and to make sure we've got a nice, healthy meal on the table or whatever. But it's not one of my skills to know the difference between a very, very clean shower and a fine shower. It's not in my ballpark.
It's not one of your hobbies.
No, it's not. It's not something I've got a natural ability for, I think, to know the difference between tidy-ish and mega clean.
Mega clean, yeah. Oh, God, I live in... Anyway, I want to move on for this because it's just making me think of my house, which is a bit of a pigsty.
Okay, I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault, is it? I think I probably started it. But what I was going to say was, I reckon we should congratulate ourselves on our podcast live last night because it was so lovely.
Yes. It was a really lush one, wasn't it? It was really cozy.
Yeah. And
it's one of my favourite things.
It is one of my favourite things too. I absolutely loved it. But there were two big mistakes I made. And one of them was that from the beginning, I think because I do the tickets on Eventbrite, and right from the beginning, they kind of have a sort of thing where automatically you give away 50 tickets kind of thing. So that's kind of their limit for a small event like ours. Hadn't thought about it because I think the first live we had like 20-ish people and the second one we had
22 or something.
Yeah. And then it was 30 something. And so for this one, I didn't think about it, left it as it was. And then just at the last couple of minutes, people wanted to log in and they couldn't because we had sold out.
Is that what happened? Ta-da!
Yep, that's what happened.
So we sold out basically yesterday.
We sold out.
So we need to work out a way.
It's easy.
By the way, for anybody who doesn't know, have we said this? We do the live podcast once a month. It's such a nice opportunity to chat. It's basically turned into our own little run club, hasn't it?
Where
we support each other and we ask questions and usually we've all got a bit of a goal in mind and we'll talk through stuff. Mm-hmm. We do that on Patreon every month and you can join in on any tier. You don't need to be on our top tier or anything. You can pay.
No. And I think I think the next one we agreed was going to be the 14th of December. So I'll put something out about that so that everyone knows. But what I'll do is I'll open it up. I'll make sure that there is enough tickets for everybody. I'll go crazy. I'll put like 200 just in case. That'd be easy enough. And the other thing that someone mentioned actually in the comments afterwards was, could we record it? Which of course we can. So, mm-hmm. So for people that can't make, because I know that we have people that listen in different countries and stuff, and like 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night might not be accessible for someone that's the other side of the world.
Yeah.
So I am, I'm going to do that next time. I'm really sorry I didn't do it this time. That would have been so easy. So, and
Should we record it as a little vid? Should we make it a little vid? I do reckon that would make the most sense. I know we hate having our faces there, but that would be quite nice. So that people can see the chat box and see, because that's the thing that I love about it.
Yeah,
is Esther and I chat. It's like another podcast episode, really, where we'll chat for 20 minutes or something. But then at the end, we'll have questions and all throughout, people will talk to each other on the chat. And it's just very, very wholesome. I think selling out is the marker to prove to us that we probably need to get Zoom Premium or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it does kick us out every time. But we're learning. And last night was a very, very joyous one. We got very excited about the Paris Half. Still a chance until the 5th of December. I'm not sure when this episode comes out, but there's still a chance until the 5th of December to join our package.
Yeah.
We were discussing, I believe you might be able to still sign up with Race Entry after that deadline, but that's the deadline if you want the women's running package, which has various benefits that we're still in negotiations about, and we will let you know what those are as soon as we can.
Yeah, I think actually we should, by now, by the time this comes out, then that should all have been kind of set in stone, so that'd be quite nice. But
okay, hopefully it'll be in the show notes then.
Yes, it will be. And what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, God, menopause.
A menopause? Do you need a quick menopause?
Yeah, I do. it was about the chats. That was it. Because what I've realised is that the first time that we did a live, when we had like 20-something people there, people felt quite happy to raise their hands and talk in front of, like actually just sort of talk to us or through the power of Zoom. But I've realized that as the numbers have got higher, people are obviously and understandably reticent about doing that. But the chat box does all the work for you, all the heavy lifting. So you can put any question you like in the chat box, which is really, really nice. So we've got loads of different comments, and as much as all of the lovely people there were kind of talking amongst themselves, they were asking us questions too, or giving us suggestions, because we had various issues with things. So that was
it pops off in the chat box, doesn't it?
Exactly. That's where it's all happening. So yeah. It was super lush. And the other thing that kind of it reminded me of was that because we've done an exclusive podcast for the top tier for what have we called them? Cheer Squad. So we've done
Cheer Squad.
Cheer Squad. So we've done a podcast. It's an additional podcast, and it's just exclusively for Cheer Squad. And I realized actually that some people couldn't access that either. So I'm working to fix that. Should be fine now.
But we'll have another one of those. Fascinating episode. Yeah, I really enjoyed recording that one. It's basically an opportunity for us to fulfill our true crime fantasies to some degree.
Yeah.
In that Esther's telling a story. Or I'm happy to tell a story next time. It's probably my turn, isn't it?
Get Holly to tell a story. But are you going to tell a story about running or just a random story?
Well, the first episode worked really well because it was sort of half a running story, half a crime against women story. Yes. So I need to find something similar. Yeah. I need to find something similar. I'll do some research. But it was brilliant. I certainly don't know how to access it, so I don't know what I'm talking about here. But somewhere in the ether, there's that podcast episode. Esther will let you know how to find it.
Yeah, I will somehow in the show notes. Anyway, let's move on to our running. How is yours doing? Because this episode, what I wanted to talk about, our running. I want to talk about what we're doing at the moment. But we need to talk about Paris, but kind of just in the kind of in the kind of wider discussion of training and beginning half marathon training.
Yes.
So if anyone is, you don't have to be training for Paris, but if you've got like a half marathon or a race in kind of spring, we need to start talking about when we start ramping up that training, because it might be a bit sooner than we think. So how's your running going?
It's going fine. I'm sorry, I was a bit distracted there because I was just thinking about the fact to add on to this that we've had a couple of emails in, I think, since we last recorded about winter training and asking for some advice for winter motivation. So just as a shout out to those people who emailed in, this can potentially be a conversation for you, because I think both of us, if I'm right to say this, I don't want to lump you in with me, have been slightly struggling with running mojo and it being cold, and it's icy cold at the moment, isn't it? I feel like it drops. For anybody who doesn't listen in Britain, then, well, I'm sure there are places where it's worse, but there's this sort of time around the middle of November where it goes from like double digits to single digits, and you can feel it.
You can feel it, yeah.
It's rough. So that's what's happening at the moment. And it's really hard. And I'm not usually a morning runner. And especially when it's dark and it's freezing cold, that's not happening for me at the moment. So usually my answer would be lunchtime runs. And I have done a couple of lunchtime runs. I haven't completely abandoned it. But in the last month since I finished the half, it's been so much more difficult to force myself to go out when it's not cold, when it's cold and often rainy and not very nice, to force myself to go out and go for a run when I haven't got like that accountability of, oh god, if I don't do this run though, I'm not going to be half marathon ready by this date. So I'm kind of, my answer to it at the moment is I'm not beating myself up about it too much. And I know sometimes I have a tendency to not beat myself up when maybe I deserve a bit of a duffing up. But in this instance, I think genuinely, I'm not worrying about it too much. I've set myself a little mini deadline when I need to start training proper again. So in my head, that's running like, you know, minimum twice a week before I get into my proper training plan, but hopefully about three times a week. When my toenail falls off, I'm so sorry to all of our patrons who I've already told this stupid story too. But my black toenail from the bath half is on its way out, and I've decided that marks as soon as the, it's like the first leaf of autumn. When that has fallen, it's the spell will be broken, and I'm really hoping that that means that I'll be able to switch into Time for Paris half mode. But it's great having a goal at the end of knowing that in March we've got to be ready.
Yeah,
I think is what's going to help me train over these next couple of months, which is probably going to be a bit grim, but it is what it
is. Yeah, it is. And I get, and you know, the thing that always sneaks up on me when it comes to this time of year as well is that I sort of think of December as being crap, just in terms of weather, and then sort of forget that January and February, but particularly February, is actually worse and colder. So I think that's why, like, race season can really sneak up on you, because you'll be training through the coldest of months, or conversely, the warmest of months if you've got an autumn one. And then on actual race day, everything is different and wrong. So, like, you will have trained wearing long sleeves and fleece-lined leggings and big socks and hats and things over your ears and stuff like that. And then on race day, suddenly it's t-shirt weather. So it can really, really throw you. And I think this way round, I think, throws me more than the other way round, because when I train through the summer for an autumn race, it means that there's a good chance that I can turn up on the start line of an autumn race actually wearing correct race gear. What will happen the other way around is when I'm training for something in March or April, is I'll turn up basically in tracky pants and a hoodie and look ridiculous next to people in shorts and singlets. So I find it really hard. Singlet. I find it so hard.
Singlets. Don't think about them often, do you?
No, you don't, thankfully.
I know what you mean. I think anybody who you are a creature of long and black and warm.
I am.
And I think if we both had that a little bit with the bath half the other way around.
Yes. Yes,
where
it was
we were expecting it to be, you know, we trained through summer and then it was in October, so we were expecting it to be cold, and then it was actually boiling. Who knows, I suppose, what, you know, Paris in spring, that's what it's going to be like. That could be anything, couldn't it?
It could be
grotty, it could be dreamy, it could, who knows? So, I think... I guess we just need to be prepared for whatever.
We have to be very British about it and be prepared. Yeah. It's kind of,
be prepared.
Yeah. And like you were saying, I'm finding running really difficult. I'm finding for the first time in probably, I don't know, maybe 18 months, I think I am allowing myself to have excuses, which I haven't done for such a long time. So I'm missing sessions, like both my boot camps and my running. I'm missing bits and pieces, not loads and loads, but like I'm missing one thing a week or two things a week. And it's just kind of, you know, I'll get to the end of a day when I would normally have done something in the morning, and I'll get to 6 or 7 in the evening, and I'll feel really deflated, and I won't really figure out why. And as I go to bed, I just say, oh yeah, I didn't actually do anything. I didn't do my thing
is
today.
It making you feel rubbish because you're not ticking all the things off your list, or is it making you feel rubbish because of the lack of endorphins and what you usually get from doing that exercise?
I think it's the latter. I think I'm used to doing, like, particularly, like, I've always thought of myself as a lonely goat, but my boot camps are in person down the park. And actually, when I miss those, I think it has a really kind of detrimental effect on, I mean, although that won't be endorphins necessarily, it's getting out, even if it's really dark at 6:30 in the morning. And it's kind of, it's sharing a few words with someone. And I do always feel really energized after that. And running, I just find really hard. I find, I was talking to you a few days ago about Raynard's, that's come back with a vengeance, so that can be really hard. It's not necessarily hard when I'm running. I know some people suffer really badly, like as soon as they step out the front door and their hands can go white and their toes can go white and stuff like that. It's not that, it's when I come back It can take me such a long time. Like it, I get like, they do call it an attack, I think.
Yeah.
But it can really, really cut in when my whole body is kind of in slight shock. So when I come back from a cold run, it can take several hours to thaw, basically. And I have such bad circulation. Yeah. So that I have bad Raynaud's, but like I know I can get pins and needles really easily and stuff like that. So I have very, very sluggish circulation. But that is off-putting. So when it comes to like little runs and things, you just think, I just don't want to.
Do come and join us on Patreon, because we've got a couple of new benefits when you subscribe, and that's from just £2 a month. First, we have an exclusive weekly newsletter from me and Hol, just for patrons, with lots of lovely secrets from us. And secondly, patrons on the Cheer Squad tier, which is just £6 a month, can listen to bonus podcasts too. Our first one is Chocker with swearing and controversy and running scandals. It's like Serial, but for running. It's ace.
I was really excited about listening to the podcast live thing that we did last night, because we asked for specific advice on Mojo.
We did.
And people came up with such good suggestions. And I think one of them was the accountability thing. One was training virtually with each other. So even if you couldn't make it to a run, to have each other in your kind of in your headphones sort of thing, so you could have a chat while you're running with someone.
I love that idea. We were talking about it because of pacing as well, weren't we? That like if you like my running buddy is faster than me, and so sometimes I feel as though either I'm holding her back or I'm having to go a bit faster than my comfortable speed in order for us to be able to run together. Yeah. And so the idea of just being able to run with a headphone in each other's ears and talk to each other virtually while we're running along at whatever pace we want is a really good idea. And if you, and then you're still being held accountable to a time, so you can't put it off. Mm-hmm. You're still having to go, oh, at 9, I said I'd ring Lex and we'd do our little virtual thing together.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Very good idea.
Like someone else was talking about doing a virtual challenge, like an actual virtual challenge. And I thought that was a really good idea as well, because I hadn't really thought about that outside of lockdowns. But actually, I think that's a really nice idea. Yep. And there are some really lovely ones as well. So I am thinking, I'm not really medal driven, but I might maybe do like a Strava challenge or something like that. I think that might be nice. I quite like getting those kind of little things where it says you've done your 5K challenge for December or whatever. So that'd be quite a nice sort of thing to do, because there's loads of those all over Strava, and you can just sort of sign up and it's nothing. All you do is like click. So I think that's a really nice thing to do as well. I wanted to talk to you about Paris and about training, because I know that you have your lovely start time goal, which is waiting for the toenail to drop off, which I think is commendable.
Probably medically a good idea.
Yes, I think so. probably is a medically a good idea. But the other thing is that I didn't know if you've looked at any training plans yet and have figured out when your training should start.
I am thinking that. I haven't got an exact date for you. I should have done that in preparation
for
this pod.
I've got a date for you.
Have you? Can I guess when it is? Because by my estimations for what I'm thinking, I'm going to start running gently, just like more times a week, 2 or 3 times a week, like I said, in when the toenail falls off, which I'm imagining is going to be like beginning of December.
Yeah.
And then I think the first like long training run, the first long training run is like 3 miles or something, usually with a half marathon training plan, is it? But, you know, the first official kind of training run would be, I think it's really close to Christmas.
Pull that right back.
Really?
Yes. Because...
Oh, shite.
No, it's fine. When you're talking about when you start running, that is fine, absolutely fine. So if it's the beginning of December, if you haven't really, if you're not really running more than once a week, say now, yeah, beginning of December, I think start running.
I'll start upping twice. It two or three.
You need to do, well, don't say two or three, just do two. Because if it's two or three, okay. then you'll give yourself the get out clause of not doing three. So just do two. But if you can do two okay. a week from the beginning of December, that's fine. But if you're going to do a 12-week training plan, so not 16, but 12-week training plan, and include like a two-week taper, you need to start from the 17th of December. So it's the week before. It's right the week before Christmas. So mid-December, that's when you need to start.
I think I was thinking, okay.
It's because Paris.
So I'm going to be like training over Christmas.
Yeah, but you say training over Christmas. It's not training over Christmas. It's three runs, and all of those runs are no longer than half an hour. So
yeah, that's true.
It's really not that bad at all. Really, like, bearing in mind all the training you've done to this point, you've done so much training. The worst bit of your training is going to be in February. So this is the nice bit. This is your gentle plods. You don't even have to be doing like
the gentle plods interval
training. Yeah, it's lovely. It's nothing is over half an hour. Nothing's over half an hour.
And so, I'm thinking about it now, and I'm thinking actually really not the worst thing. I don't love running where my parents are because I think I'm going to be going. Doug and I are having Christmas together for the first time ever this year.
Oh,
I don't think I told you about that.
No, you haven't.
I know. I this is probably a bit early to get festive, isn't it? We will do more. Festive episodes as we've done in the past, but
we will.
Just to begin some gentle Christmas chat, this will be our 11th Christmas going out with each other.
Guys,
I know. Amazing. And we've never done Christmas together before because we've both got families that we love spending Christmas with, and it's always felt a bit sad to be like, oh, I'll ditch mine or you ditch yours or whatever.
Yeah,
but we've got really, really lucky and really jammy this year that my parents are away after Christmas seeing other family, and all of Doug's siblings and stuff are descending after Christmas with his family. So we're having two Christmases, going to mine first for a few days and then Doug's family for another couple of days.
Lovely.
I don't love, the point of this was going to be that I don't love running with where my parents live. It's a bit repetitive. They live in like a little kind of village. They live in Bishop's Cleeve near Cheltenham, which I think I've discussed before is very, very it's a non-event place, really, aside from the fact that it was where Fred West claimed his first victim. That's the kind of little village we're talking about here. And so it's not the most sort of beautiful place to run around. There is a park, and I've worked out kind of a like 5K loop when I've been home before that I can kind of do around the park, which isn't that bad. It's not beautiful, but it's also kind of on a housing estate, but it's not bad. But then Doug's parents live in the absolute middle of nowhere in Brecon Beacons. I can't complain really at having to do some of my training running around there. It's going to be gorgeous. Yeah. And they live in quite a flat bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I get all the luxury of the view of the hills without actually having to run up any of them.
That's good. And also bear in mind what Claire was saying in our last podcast about trail running, which I completely take to heart because I think it's just fantastic, which is if you're worried about routes, if you're running somewhere that's unfamiliar, then just run along one stretch for 10 minutes and then run back again. And that's your 20 minutes done.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about plotting a route. Just run by time rather than distance.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely fine. And also we do have, I'll link to it, but we do have a train for a half marathon by time plan, don't we?
I would like to do that, but my fear that I'm going to share with you now is that because I'm quite slow, I worry that I'm not going to actually train up to the full, because often like stuff like couch to 5K assumes you'll run a 5K in half an hour. And at my fastest, my 5K time has been 32 minutes. So I worry about not actually getting up to the distance that I need to get up to in order to be half marathon ready if I go on a time-based training plan.
But that's the whole point of it.
Exactly.
The whole point is to not worry about how many miles you're doing or how many Ks you're doing. The whole point is to, like, if you think like your half marathon time was like 2:35 or something, wasn't it?
It was. I worked out the other day, officially going by my Strava, 2:28.
What? Oh my God.
I know. It was slightly under 2.5 hours because my Strava says I ran 13.4.
Yes, of course, because
in something like 2 hours 32 minutes or something, 2 hours 31 minutes. So I was working out with my friend who's a very good, he's like a marathon in 3 hour kind of disgusting person. And he was telling me he reckoned that would be about 2:28 at my pace.
Yeah. So tell me with Paris, what are your goals for Paris?
So to be perfectly honest, I don't think it's going to be very exciting for people to hear. My goal in terms of like time and stuff is very similar. I'd like to keep it under 2.5 hours still if I can. But I think my main goal with Paris, to be honest, is more about the pod squad that we're running it with.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling like we've got a mutual sense of achievement at something that we've worked towards training for together, and that we can all have a glass of champagne afterwards and feel like we've got something to celebrate. And it, I think it's more the community aspect that's driving me for Paris.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, that's great.
Is that annoying and boring to say?
No, it's not annoying and boring because mine is exactly the same. I just want to do it, and I want to do it with everyone. So that's all I've got. So in terms of training it's entirely up to you how you want to train. I mean, of course you can train by distance if that's what you feel comfortable with, but if you train by time, it just takes the pressure off a bit. And because you know that your longest ever run in your whole training block is going to be 2.5 hours or a bit under, you can figure that one out in terms of your training. So you can take the training by time training plan, which I'll put the link to in the show notes, you can take that and you can amend it to your benefit. So you don't, if you think that the longest run there, say the longest run is like 1.5 hours, that might be the longest run that you do in that training plan before you actually do the half. You might think to yourself, actually, I don't like the idea of having 1 hour unaccounted for in my training. So I like the idea of maybe running for 2 hours as my longest training plan.
Yeah.
Do that. Just do that.
That would probably be what I'd have done anyway before. If my longest training run was like 10, 11 miles.
Yeah,
then about the same. Also, I feel so much more confident going into this one, bizarrely, than the first time when I was, it just goes to show, I feel much more confident going into this one than I did last time, even though last time I was thinner and I was younger a bit. Not last time, I mean the first time ever when we did it together. Because I know that under my belt, I've got the fact that I ran it all.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yes.
And I managed it. That was my A goal, wasn't it? It was just being able to run the whole thing. And the fact that I know I can do that, I think I feel a lot more confident about being able to do it again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm talking a bit of bollocks this morning because my toes are really cold. All of my brain power is flooding to my toes. But, let's actually quickly talk about, darting around lots today. Chilblains. Can you relate as a Raynaud sufferer? I have got chilblains. I haven't had them since... I sometimes get slightly sore feet because I think also I struggle with circulation, much less in my hands, but in my toes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think because I've been having very, very, very cold toes working at my desk all day. And then at the end of the day, getting in, because I'm an evening showerer rather than a morning showerer, I'll usually finish my day with having a hot shower or a hot bath. And then I think dunking my freezing little ice pops in there is causing them to...
Yes, exactly what's going to happen. Yes.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Oh, what it's so I'm tempting going to, though.
I am going to send you a link to what I've got.
Okay.
Which I can't find here. I need to find a cheaper... Oh, there we are. It's something that looks a little bit like this. I'm using the power of visuals on an audio medium.
I'll use the power of audio description. Yeah. It's like an Oodie for your... It's like an Oodie for your feet.
Yeah. So yeah. I've got one of these. This one costs $15.99. The one I've got, I think, was even cheaper than that. And it's not a huge amount of warmth, but you put your feet into like a little, mine is like a little pillow. You put it in and I think it only lasts for an hour. The heat only lasts for an hour and then it turns off automatically and then you can turn it back on again if you want to. It's a really
Electric slippers.
Exactly. And it's a really gentle heat, but it's enough to keep your feet. Oh, God. Honestly, it's bloody genius. I love it so much. It's so much better than slippers.
Okay.
It's another level of nice warm toes.
I'm going to invest in that. And I think the other thing that I really need to invest in is an electric blanket.
Do it. Yes.
Because of my potentially damp, cold room. And it all sounds very bleak on the Women's Running Podcast today, doesn't it? I promise we're very lucky to have roofs over our heads and nice lives.
We are.
But the problem with an electric blanket, I don't know whether... Have you got one?
I don't. I've been looking with kind of salivating over one I've seen recently, which goes over your chair. It's like a chair warm cup. Oh. I have a cold gum. I was like, hello, that looks nice. So I really fancy that.
That sounds lush.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I would really like my I suppose there's not a massive amount of point to an electric blanket quite so much as there might be for a chair, because I was always told that if you have to turn it on, obviously, before you get in.
Yes.
Before you get in. My dad used to scare me and give me horror stories that if I weed the bed in the night, then I would electrocute myself.
Yes. Yes. I'm terrified of it. Absolutely terrified.
Terrified of that. Yeah. Absolutely terrified of that. Or what if I sweat too much and I electrocute myself?
And I sweat loads overnight because obviously I'm 49 and that's what happens. But yeah, I sweat loads. So I am really worried about, fizzing.
You're right for electrocution. Yeah. I think I get really nervous about that. So it's a bit frustrating that I suppose you just have to turn it on sort of a couple of hours before bed, don't you? Heat the bed up.
Yeah.
And then when it's time to get in, turn it off and it just loses heat rapidly. But the other problem is that Doug absolutely hates and rejects the concept of an electric blanket. He doesn't like getting in. I know this sounds bizarre in November in Britain, but he doesn't like getting into a warm bed.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
I know, he's such a weirdo. I know. Oh. It's really weird. So I would have to invest in one that's only a one side. That's all one-sided. I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can get those. I'm not sure I'd like it in bed. That's the thing. What I'd like is the things I've liked is that kind of the heated seat cover. So it's so during the day is when I'm at my coldest. The heated seat cover. I've also seen hot water bottles that are like long snakes. Have you seen those?
Oh my gosh, like a pregnancy pillow that you can put in the microwave.
Yes, but thinner. So it's a thin, long one. Oh. So you can like wrap around your neck or you can have it like a little hug. Oh, like a little hug.
Yes. Is it quite short?
I don't know. But it just looked really, really nice. I can't find it on Amazon right now, but something.
I think Doug has got one of those. So he sounds more like your kind of a vibe. I think he doesn't like the idea of because of sweating in the night, doesn't like the idea of getting into a hot, hot bed. But is not opposed to a hot water bottle or something. And he's got a thing that lives in his childhood bedroom that's called the cozy warmy thing. And it's that. It sounds exactly like that. I think you're after a cozy warmy thing.
It's a cozy warmy thing. I want that. And my mum, every year, she's a knitter and she knits me basically bed socks. And so I have...
That is such a good mum move.
Yeah, it gets to the end of October and out they come and I start wearing those the whole time. And they're an absolute lifesaver because my feet, particularly, you know, the weird thing about kind of bad circulation is I noticed that the later I go to bed, the worse my circulation is and the longer it can take for my feet to warm up once I get into bed. And that can stop me from going to sleep if they're really, really cold and really uncomfortable. So as soon as I've got socks on, even if I push them off in the middle of the night, which I can do, as soon as I got, this is nothing to do with running, is it? Nothing.
Who cares?
I tell you what, though. We're supposed to care.
But we are. That was actually very, very, very useful. You've essentially written my Christmas list there for me.
But I tell you what, I hope
that's useful to other people because although, you know, like running is something that we all have in common, I think at the moment, having cold, bloody toes is something that we've all got in common.
We do.
Am I right?
We do. Yes. And I did notice when I did put my thing out on, I did a little post on Instagram talking about Raynaud's because I had a bad attack kind of a couple of days back. And it was a sort of heartwarming, if not finger warming, to see that there are so many other people that obviously suffer from this. But I was getting messages. There was a message from a chap actually who was talking about putting, he puts his running shoes on the radiator. So he's, you know, when you put your, you know, upside down so that you put your feet into your running shoes and they're warm before you go for a run.
Oh, that is such a good move.
That's really good. I think that's nice. The only thing for me is that, I think because Raynaud's is such a weird thing. Obviously, it can affect your hands and your feet. Up until like a couple of years ago, I used to think, oh, it's just my hands. It's not my feet. But I've realized that it is my feet. It's just that they're not as painful. So I don't register it in the same way that I register it with my hands. And I think actually it's more damaging. I will get chilblains on my feet and I won't understand that my feet will suddenly become really, really itchy. And I'm like, why are they itchy?
What was happening to me last night.
Yeah. And then I realized.
I have to admit, I went to town and then I really regretted it afterwards because now they're really like red and sore.
Yeah, it's so unpleasant. And I don't get that on my hands, but I think that's because I kind of stop the Raynaud's in its tracks more quickly. But my problem is actually running at 6:30 in the morning means that we don't have heating on before then. So I there's no way of warming stuff up.
When's your heating time for?
It's about...
This is the heating special, isn't it, today?
It's about 7:00, I think. And it will come on for like half an hour. So it's just not enough. It's just not at the right time. So it's fine if I want to go for a cold run at lunchtime or something. So it's, it's just, this time of year is just shite, isn't it? It's just shite.
It's so shite. Getting out there. And our heating, I've definitely bitched about this on the pod before. And I know it sounds bonkers. Honestly, actually, please write in wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk or join us on Patreon and let me know. My heater, my boiler, does not seem to have a timer. I've lived in this house for nearly 4 years and I cannot work. It's a rented house, so I can't do anything about the boiler. And as far as I'm aware, I've never, ever been able to find a setting on it that it's quite old combi boiler thing. And I've never been able to find a setting that means that you can turn the heating on for just periods of time. It's just got the setting of on and then there's a thermostat and then you set it to the min, you know, temperature that you want it to come on when it reaches that temperature. So at the moment, because it's so in summer, we obviously just turn that all the way down and it never turns on and it's not a problem. Whereas in winter, we can't really have it go below like 5 degrees because again, rented house, and it's our responsibility to stop the pipes from bursting or whatever if it gets too cold. And so we have to have it on about 5, like 5 or 10. And if it does get below that temperature, it just turns on for as long as it takes to heat the house back up to not being that temperature anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a problem, because then sometimes it just turns on for ages and I won't have realized that the heating's, but that's basically what happened last year. And that's why I have nothing left to give to Putin. And I've just had to resign myself to turning it off for like the whole of winter.
That deserves a bit of a Google, because I have seen.
Yeah,
that
if anyone's a gas or boiler specialist or whatever and knows the answer, please let me know.
Well, I think that there is some goodness in having a boiler that kicks in and ensures that your house remains roughly the same temperature in terms of energy efficiency. So I don't know, but yeah, God, when it comes to early doors running, it's no help whatsoever, is it? So,
no, definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Well, I feel as though, I was going to say this has been a heating special, hasn't it? And we should probably talk about something else. but I also wanted to ask for forgiveness for the fact that it may have seemed like a slightly chaotic episode, because secretly behind the scenes, we've been battling with my shit laptop, which is falling apart and crumbling into pieces. That has meant that every fucking 5 minutes we keep getting interrupted and have to find our place again. So I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's such a nightmare. But look, I'll tell you what would be really nice is, have you had any emails that we could talk about? Because I think we've had quite a few people getting in touch.
Yeah, I wondered about getting your advice about this one here. Sorry, I'm slightly springing this on you. Perhaps we can also, like, you know, ask an expert next time we've got an expert on, ask this question. But I just wondered if you had any advice in the meantime. This is from someone called Mia. She said, firstly, I love listening to the podcast. I discovered you guys as I was looking for running podcasts for when I'm out and about. It slowly crept up to being my favorite, as I'm obsessed with running too and I'm desperate to get my mileage up again. I wanted to ask a bit of advice as I keep getting stuck in the same loop. Run up distance, get injured, step back, run, get injured, up this, you know, same thing. I've been running since the pandemic started, and it brings me so much joy, especially coming from having anorexia. It's helped me appreciate what my body can do and how powerful I can feel. But more often, I keep feeling niggles and injuries popping up, and I don't feel like my body can get past a half marathon without injury. I have to admit, I do exercise every day, but I don't run every day. Oh my gosh, Mia, don't worry about that. Coming from two people who have just admitted wholeheartedly that we've not been exercising every day at the moment. Would love your thoughts and advice. I hope she doesn't mind that I've read that out. But I just thought that that was lovely and a nice reminder of how powerful and lovely running is, but also was genuinely quite an interesting bit of advice, because I kind of relate. I haven't ever tried to push myself further than half marathon distance, to be fair, but I do see what she means in that I push myself up to that and then I'll usually have a niggle afterwards. Like, mine tends to be my hips. That does put me out afterwards, and then I feel like I have to train to half marathon all over again, and it does feel very difficult to get past. So I related and I felt for her, and I wondered if you had any tips.
Okay,
I've got
two
things. I think I know what
they're
going to be.
Yeah, you know.
I think I know what one of them is going to be.
Yeah. Well, the first thing, because she touches on the fact that she had anorexia. First of all, I would suggest with her, and because she's a sort of fairly recent runner, I mean, obviously we don't know to the degree that she had anorexia, but it can, we do know with anorexia that obviously nutrition takes a massive blow, and that means that it can affect everything that's going on. It can, obviously it can affect your periods, your general health, it can affect your bone health. And obviously your muscle health as well. So I would suggest, if she's not already having a chat with a nutritionist, to have a chat with a nutritionist about the sorts of food that she can be fueling her body correctly in order to prevent some of those niggles. Because there is always a chance that because everything is a little bit out of whack, and that there could be all sorts of issues that have stemmed from anorexia, which is such an awful, awful disease. So it's kind of, so I think for a first step, speak to someone about the sorts of foods that you're eating, and maybe there's a kind of, maybe a calcium rich diet, or maybe there's I don't know, but I would definitely have a conversation with someone about that. So the other thing is going to be strength. So it's strength and mobility. So to be a better runner, to be a better runner and to continue running longer, if you want to run further and further and further, you can't just run. And you need to know this as much as she needs to do this. So you sort of, it's so easy to think to yourself, right, you know, all I need to do, if I want to run for 2 hours, if I want to run for 3 hours, I just need to run for longer. That's simply not the case. If you want to run for 2 hours and you keep on getting niggles at 1 hour, you're never going to get to 2 hours unless you do something about those niggles. And the way that you do that is by strength and mobility. If you're always getting something wrong with your hips, then you need to work on your hips. So
I know.
And I am going to wag my finger. It's like, come on. But to be fair, I need to say the same thing to myself. I do strength, but I don't do specific strength. I don't do running strength. And running strength means kind of working single leg stuff. It's because when you run, you're jumping on one leg all over the place. That's what you're doing. That's essentially what you're doing. So while squats, for instance, are a good exercise for us to do, a single leg squat is better. Because we're using one side of the body and then the other side of the body. So I know I have one leg slightly longer than the other, and I know I always have an issue with my right hand side. And at the moment, it's kind of my glute and my hamstring. I'm getting kind of, it just feels tired. I know that what I need to be doing is things like single leg deadlifts and stuff like that, as well as making sure that I'm using my massage gun after runs and really getting into my glute and my hamstring on my right hand side.
Yeah, it's a good idea in terms of recovery. Recovery is a little bit more of a fun one to talk about because I knew that Esther was going to bring up strength, and I do think that is annoyingly. I mean, she does say that she exercises every day, and I think, but you know, if a lot of that might be cardio stuff like running, spinning, then maybe it could be worth working some strength in. If you feel like you're already doing that and you're not really seeing the benefits, maybe it is a slight issue of your body not having, if you're overtraining a little bit to an extent and your body doesn't have time to recover between sessions, then, you know, one of the best ways that you can do that if you don't want to cut down on your training too much is lovely salty baths and making sure to use your massage gun. If you've got one, you can get them for not too expensive these days. Stick one on your Christmas list, because they're like, some of them I think are like around £100 now. You can get like a big old Theragun thing that looks like a sort of ray gun from Star Wars or something, and that's, I think those are really pricey, but some of them are like £100, and I find those amazing. Like, they made a massive difference to my training and stopped me from getting feeling so many aches and pains and then getting injured.
But I have to say, look, I think what you've touched on there is really important also to mention is the overtraining aspect. And while we can recover well by having magnesium baths and using massage guns and stuff, if you're overtraining, that's not going to cut it. What you also need on top of that is rest. And so there is a chance if she is exercising every day. I mean, I tend to do some exercise every day, but my exercise might be like half an hour. So we don't know the extent to her exercise. If she's doing like 2 hours every day, that's fine if you're a pro athlete. Mm-hmm. But if you're a normal person that's got a day-to-day job, that's probably a bit too much. And there's always a real concern at that point that she might tip into something like Red S, you know, with overtraining. Yeah. Which I think we should do
a whole episode on. Oh, you did, yeah, with Kate. Sorry.
Yeah, but we could do it again for sure.
But we should do another one, shouldn't we? We should do another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Red S is, you know, it's complex and it's really interesting. I was speaking to a nutritionist this week. Was it this week? Yeah, I think it was this week. And I was talking to her about women and menopausal symptoms. And she said, actually, what's really interesting is that lots of women in their 40s go to their doctors with concerns that they might be going into perimenopause. And doctors will diagnose that, but actually perimenopausal symptoms can actually be very similar to some Red S symptoms. So the Red S can go undiagnosed completely. So I think it's looking at that whole package, isn't it? If she's exercising, but maybe a bit too much, and if she's not giving herself enough break, and she's not getting enough sleep, and she's not getting enough, you know, maybe she needs to have a few days built in there where she's doing kind of active movement, but not actual exercise. So walking.
Yeah, totally. Exercise can be, obviously we've mentioned stuff like yoga that can be very intense, but can be more gentle for your body if you choose the right kind of class. But honestly, like when Esther and I are looking at doing Red January in January this year, which involves like moving every day, some of my moving every day, I'm literally going to count as like, I am going to walk to pick up my takeaway rather than get it delivered.
It's exactly that. It is exactly
that.
Yeah,
it's just making a conscious choice to move your body because that will make you feel good. And but it doesn't have to be, you know, exercise is everything that we do that is not sitting stationary, I suppose, throughout the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exercise could be going up and down your stairs a couple of times. You know, it's just every day doesn't have to be every day like a full session with an instructor or, you know, an hour's worth of running. Or if exercising every day makes you feel great and you found that that's a good place to work through, you know, your previous issues with anorexia or with maybe any mental health issues, or I completely get that you might be reticent to not exercise every day, but maybe that exercise needs to be reframed slightly as like doing stuff that makes you feel like you got a lovely little buzz off doing something that was a bit active, but is gentle to your body and doesn't injure you.
Yeah, it's such a tough one. It's such a tough one because I know that's, you know, I don't know that, but you know, someone that has been through something like anorexia, I think someone's going to have such, I would assume that person is going to have an overwhelming awareness of their own body and cues and red flags and all sorts of things like that. There's going to be so much going on there. And I would be so conscious of looking at exercise in a much more holistic way, if possible, if at all possible, just sort of thinking, right, okay, this is good for my body, but there are other things that could be good for my body that aren't quite so high impact, but can also kind of benefit my mental health because I'm kind of either going outdoors or I'm kind of moving in a different way, in a more kind of kindly way to joints and stuff. Also, it depends. She's not also mentioned what kind of injuries she has had, so we don't know if they are things like stress fractures or calf strains or things like that. So it's kind of trying to sort of look at it from that holistic view, because if it's stress fractures, again, I really, really want to look at nutrition as much as strength work really sort of focus on. And I must admit, I am coming from a selfish point of view because I know that I need to look at both of those things. And I do realize that nutrition is a bit of an issue with me as well. And particularly as I'm heading into menopause and just sort of thinking, right, actually, I need to consider the balance of food groups a little bit more and think about.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't.
This is a cozy space where I don't think either of us are giving any of this advice from the perspective of being kind of, I don't know, not struggling with similar things ourselves at all. But there is expert advice if you do feel that that's something that you need. Listen to our lovely episode with Josephine Perry if you want a bit more information on exercise addiction potentially and on some of those kind of ways that our mental health can then impact our relationship with food, with exercise, with our bodies. And we'll put some bits in the show notes maybe as well.
Do you know what, actually, because I'd forgotten about the exercise addiction thing and I shouldn't do. And actually, when I was asking Josephine about that back in the day, it was because I was a bit concerned about me. I was a bit worried about me and addiction and stuff like that. And actually, I have to say, one knock-on benefit of us going into cold weather is because I've been reticent to go out there and I have been a little bit more hashtag kind to myself.
Good.
Thanks. And it means that I feel I don't have that concern about the addiction so much anymore. Like, I'm not entirely sure I had that in the first place. And if I did, it was an extremely mild form, if anything at all. but I did, I absolutely needed to go in my head, needed mm-hmm. to do something every single day. Every single day I had to do something. And it's not that, and it was around the time when I was saying to you things like yoga didn't count. Like I didn't include that in my movement. And so I was running and doing yoga afterwards and things like that. And now I don't feel like I have that. Yoga does count. And mm-hmm. I'm not beating myself up too much if I miss a session. Although there was some beating. It's not as bad as it has been. Definitely not as bad as it has been. So I think...
Good. I'm really glad. I watched the other night, it was last night actually, and I would recommend this to everybody. I watched a documentary that Jonah Hill, the actor, made about... Have you seen this advertised on Netflix recently?
No.
He's made a documentary where he basically filmed his... Over the course of a few years... his therapy sessions with his therapist, but the idea was he was sort of also trying to use the tools that his therapist had taught him to turn the tables and kind of therapize the therapist, if that made sense, so that they could kind of help each other through some problems. It was really lovely, just like lovely, really vulnerable, really emotional, and they're so comfortable with each other, and even though they're completely different people, and the therapist has got Parkinson's and he's got this amazing attitude to life, and it's lovely. But they talked a lot in that about because his kind of philosophy is this idea of starting with your body and not in a kind of negative way in terms of image or things you've been taught are right or wrong or whatever, but just ways that you make yourself feel like you're treating it with respect and that you're being, you know, you're prioritizing yourself and your physical being in that way. I sound a bit wanky, but bear with me. Then I think then the second pyramid was like other people, and then the top was I can't remember, something else, your brain or something, I can't remember. But go and watch it because it's brilliant. But they talked a lot about that and about trying to find, like, when you've been taught one way or the other about exercise and diet being good, and the way you're looking, you know, the way you might look, they're an antidote to a certain thing that you might not, that you might feel people don't want you to look that way, that if you're bigger in the world, then people might look down at you, and they might. And Jonah Hill was talking about his mum really encouraging him to diet and to exercise more and to lose weight when he was a child. And that he went a very opposite way and was kind of like, fuck you. I don't want to do that because you're telling me that I have to do that. And that's making me reject that. And they were also talking about other ways that you can go of kind of, you know, of pandering to that and going, okay, I have to do this because this is a certain thing that people are expecting of me, and that they that this helps me fit this role in society, maybe, or this shape, this size, taking up this amount of space in society or whatever that people are expecting of me, sort of thing. And it just hit me, I don't know, how difficult it is to get to a place with your own relationship with food, diet, exercise, your body essentially, where you really genuinely are just doing what you know makes you feel good, and that you are and that you're not allowing any of those external factors, societal factors, the way that other people have spoken about you and your body, or that it really is not about the way that it appears to other people. It's about how you feel within yourself and the power that that can have on kind of unlocking those other steps that can make you start to feel that you've got purpose and that you're proud of who you are. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so hard to get there.
I hate
isn't it?
That I just did that. Know, but
no, but we
go
and
listen
I think
to
that's
him
wonderful.
Talk about it much better than me.
Yeah. And I also, we've talked about this before, haven't we? Like our own you know, need or desperation to get to a kind of place of body neutrality and things like that. And it's just impossible.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
And how do you
transfer then into that? Like, because exercise does help me be body neutral more and more. I'm starting to learn that, like, if I focus on the fact that I can run rather than the way I look when I can run, doesn't mean that when I see a picture of myself looking like a twat and running almost horizontally sometimes that I don't feel a bit rubbish about it. But if I know I've done that distance and I've achieved what I wanted to achieve, then who cares what I look like when I'm doing it? And I know that more now, and I'm getting to a place of body neutrality. But what happens when you do live in a world, especially as women, I think, where there are times when you're expected to look a certain way, or you might want to look a certain way. Like, we're going to a nice awards thing tomorrow, and for the podcast, actually, we haven't even mentioned that. Cut this out. What if we don't win? But we're going to that tomorrow, and I do want to look nice. And that's when I start to really struggle, or you know, when you're like, with your partner, you're going out for a nice date or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
times where you actually want to feel like you do feel sexy or beautiful or attractive or whatever it is that you want to feel. I feel like sometimes I almost go too far with body neutrality, where then I really struggle to connect with that aspect of myself, if that makes any sense.
What sort of, you go too far with body neutrality so that you can't feel positive about your body?
Yeah, then I've lost the whole body positivity thing as a goner.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, well, it's a vessel. It's a vessel to carry my soul through existence, and who fucking cares?
Oh my God.
And then when I want to put some glitter on the vessel, I'm like, why am I bothering doing this now? This is rubbish.
What's the point with my neutral body? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm so sorry if I've just added an extra aspect of confusion to it all. But essentially, it's all very confusing. Yeah.
It is confusing. Yeah. It's massively confusing. I think we'll probably need to talk more about food and bodies, particularly when we tip into January, because I know that there's going to be loads of people grab hold of women's running in January because they want to lose weight, and that's fine. And of course you can do that, and obviously running can help do that if that's your goal. It's absolutely fine, but we need to have some big chats about diet culture, big chats about bodies and what we think of our own and how we get to that neutral stuff without also that meaning that for some reason we don't actually love our bodies. You know, does neutrality mean that we're taking away the positive aspect of it? And
exactly,
but body positivity is just so far removed. And
and something that I think it's really difficult to draw a line, isn't it, between eat all the crisps, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, my body's beautiful no matter what. It is, by the way, but
it is.
It is, but if you're not treating yourself with respect and you're not like looking after yourself, then you're going to feel a bit rubbish. And exactly the same the other way. If you're restricting yourself and you're being unkind to yourself about the way that you look, and you're not going to feel good. So it's all very complicated. And maybe we need to ask a brainy person to come on and talk about it with us. Because I think after many years, I still don't feel like I found the answers for myself in how I can feel body neutral, positive, whatever.
Jesus, I can't. You know what? I'm going to say, because we are right at the end of this now, and it's just going on, and we could talk about bodies forever and ever and ever. So what I'm going to do for this very last bit is I want you to tell the world your favorite part of your body. What's the best bit, objectively?
Oh, that's so nice.
What is the bit of your body that you love the most? I think you should tell everyone.
Okay. My bit that I like the most is probably the sort of collarbone-y area. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
I like that bit. I quite like that bit. I don't know what it is about it, but something about that makes me feel quite sort of maybe grown up and elegant when I can be bothered to put a nice necklace on and wear something with a nice neckline. I feel like, oh yeah. And another bit that I'm really coming round to recently, I thought I'd start with that bit because I want this to be my choice, but something that Doug told me about recently are thigh brows. Have you ever heard of the term thigh brows?
I have not heard of thigh brows. What the hell is that?
I hadn't heard of it either, but that's the crease that your thigh kind of makes, like, you know, like your bit where your thigh connects to the rest of your torso, and if you hoik it up, if you do a high knee or whatever, and there's a sort of line between the thigh and the tummy or whatever,
yeah,
random bit but that's a thigh brow. And ever since Dogs pointed out to me that that's a thing, I've been like, oh, nice little thigh brow there. And that's really nice, because sometimes when you're in a weird pretzely position for yoga or something and you can feel like a bit of a troll, just look out for a thigh brow and you'll feel like that bitch. That's what I'm trying to do at the moment. Tell me yours.
My favorite bit, no question, feet. It's my feet.
Really?
Yeah, objectively, I can quite honestly, I'm going to put it out there. I don't care what I might get haters for it. I have really pretty feet, and and I love looking at them, and I compare them to other people's, and I know they're pretty. And my left foot particularly has a little mole, like a beauty spot, just below the little toe, and I think it's
lush.
I do. I really, really, when all else fails, because all else does fail, I look down and I have my feet. So yeah, I feel like that's
my... And you know as well that there's big money in that. If it all goes tits up for the podcast, Esther's going to be... Look out for Esther's foot pics coming soon to OnlyFlans.
Thank you for listening. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or stories, as we'd love to include them in a future podcast. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. For just £2 a month, you can become one of our supporters on Patreon, and you'll receive a special patron-only weekly newsletter from me and Holly, and free access to our monthly live chats. If you join our Cheer Squad tier for just £6 a month, you can listen to bonus podcasts too. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. Happy running.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.